Breaking news.
Apparently, three young men missed the memo that bacon is so over. Side note, not true. 18-year-olds Quincy D. Davis and Daquan Marquis Wright, along with an unnamed juvenile, stole three boxes of bacon from Anderson, Indiana store freezer. The bacon was valued at $90. This isn't the first time someone was caught stealing bacon. Last year, a man broke into a house and stole some bacon from the fridge and a phone.
Wow. Why bother with a phone?
I mean, I don't know.
You have the bacon. Who cares? You can barter that.
You stole the bacon.
You can barter that stuff.
Isn't that a phrase?
What?
Stole the bacon.
Bring home the bacon. Stole the bacon.
I feel like that's a phrase.
Barter the bacon.
Interesting.
Trade bacon for phone.
I stole the bacon. Isn't that a game or something?
If it's not, it should be. If it's not, it just got invented right here. It just got invented here live on Tech Bacon, episode 11.
Thank you very much.
May 14th, 2011.
Whoa.
I don't know what noise that was, but that just happened.
I don't know what noise I just did either. It just made absolutely no sense.
Yeah, for this episode, we're just going to go and make strange mouth noises because that's what you people like. You don't know it yet, but we think it's true. Wow. That was like a Star Wars prequel creature going on. What was that? Was that a creature from Naboo? What was that?
I'm not even sure what that was.
I think that was a piece of Naboo flora. That's what I think that was.
I think it was a piece of Naboo something else.
Why do you got to hate the plant life on Naboo, man? Come on.
Sorry. Actually, nothing to do with anything, but it's very cool. And since we were talking about Star Wars, so the new Star Tours is opening in Disneyland and Disney World.
Oh, cool.
Did you hear about this? They redid the whole ride.
Yeah.
3D, new everything.
Like, what's the mission?
Apparently there's like hundreds of combinations, so you never get really the same ride.
Does Pee Wee Herman still do the voice, or the guy that sounds like Pee Wee Herman?
I know Anthony Daniels is part of it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Real quick question. Was that, because you're the Disney guy.
I don't know.
Because that was the rumor that it was Paul Rubens the entire time.
It sounded like him.
But it sounded more like somebody doing him, but as a kid, right. I wanted it to be Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, I totally wanted it to be him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I don't think it really was.
So the ride opens the first week of June.
It could have been that.
I randomly was selected to be one of the first 1,200 people to ride the ride on May 20th.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Here in L.A. or in Florida?
LA.
How? What? What?
I entered a Facebook contest saying, if you're interested in this, click like. I got an email the other day. I get tickets to the park. I get in early first to ride the ride.
Do you have a plus one?
I do have a plus one.
We need to go for the show.
I'm sorry, Brian.
Who are you taking? You need to go for the show. We need to do a spot for the show. You need to tell that person sorry. Is it a girl?
Well, no.
Is it Dooner?
It's Osico.
Oh,
He's part of the – every year we do a Disneyland trip for the past like 8 years. He's me, Jamie, and Dave. So I have to.
Show's over.
If he bails
– No.
If you
show's over. This will be the last Tech Bacon, everyone.
I'll report on it next week's show because it's Friday. So. God,
every time I think there's not a new way for you to go and cut your co-host out, you find a way. It's kind of impressive.
Man,
I'm just waiting for a time when we have like some cool experiment, like we're trying out new gear and like you hook yourself up, but not the brother. That
will never happen.
I'm hoping.
That will not happen. If we get hooked up with gear.
I'm hoping.
The first stop is right here at Tech Bacon Studios.
I have high hopes about us both trying new gear.
It's going to happen.
Is it really?
It's going to happen. I'm working on it.
But do you think it's going to happen?
I do.
Oh. We can't tell you guys what we're talking about. And I mean, I guess it's really not that exciting, but it's really exciting for us. But
I just have somebody who could help us out getting some pre-release stuff from tech-related things.
Yeah. And hope we want to go and do some sort of like – we're going to do like some sort of review piece. And it's going to be cool.
So we'll see where that leads, but it's promising. Very, okay. Very promising.
Because I do expect you to get hooked up and not me.
No.
Okay.
We get hooked up.
That's exciting.
We get hooked up.
So like you're one of the first people. What does that really mean? On the Star Wars thing.
They're doing like a whole event on Friday, May 20th, where like 1,200 people get to ride the ride 2 weeks before it opens.
Oh, that's cool, because that's like the anniversary of like Star Wars and stuff. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I mean, they're doing like a whole big thing, and it's not open at all to the public for another 2 weeks after that.
Okay, that's fine. I don't care. It's for Friday. I couldn't go anyway. But real quick aside, then we're going to be done with Star Wars people, I promise, because we have a lot of stuff to talk about this episode. May 4th, this whole like, it's May the 4th be with you. Okay, I know some people like it. My friend Sarah really liked that. That's terrible.
I don't really like it.
It's terrible. If you want to celebrate something, celebrate the anniversary of the movie.
I enjoy May 4th the is pun. Nothing. It's fun.
Yeah, I don't like pun holidays. Okay, pun holidays are not okay with me.
I'm with you.
I mean, it's a big problem.
Yes, It took me a while to understand why it was anything other than a fun little joke.
It's a bad, you know what? It's a joke grenade, which
but
I appreciate.
But it became Star Wars Day. Like, now that is Star Wars Day.
It's not Star Wars Day. May 20th is Star Wars Day.
I'm saying, but people say it's
people
Star
are wrong.
Wars Day.
People are stupid. People are wrong, and they're stupid in this case.
I agree.
Yeah. My friend Sarah, you're not stupid, but and you had a good reason for liking it.
But everyone else.
But everybody else, you're all stupid if you like May the 4th Be With You. May 20th, whatever the anniversary of the first film was.
Isn't it May 20th?
I believe it's May 20th, 77, right?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds...
I'm just going to check this right now because I need to know. And I'm kind of embarrassed. I don't know off the top of my head.
I think
it's the 20th.
I don't know, man. I mean, it sounds right and it would make sense. That's why they're doing this event at Disneyland. But I think they're filming
we
it.
Are wrong.
We
it
are
is
wrong.
May 25th, 1977.
May 25th.
But you know what? I think something came out May 20th. Like one of the prequels or – that date's burned in my head for something.
Okay. I mean, well, that – I don't know. It could be. Maybe it was the first prequel. You think?
You know what? I don't care. It is. Because you know what? Ultimately, we're not Jedi Bacon.
No, we are not Jedi Bacon.
So
that's somebody else's podcast.
Yeah, and that is what Jabba the Hutt ate after he killed the Jedis. He ate Jedi Bacon.
Well, that's what...
He ate Jedi Jerky. He's like all kinds of stuff.
I was just saying if you were to kill Jar Jar and eat him, that would be Jedi Bacon.
That would be Jar Bacon.
Jar Bacon.
Or Binks Bacon. Binks Bacon sounds like a good brand, actually.
I know. It kind of sounds pretty good. It's catchy.
Yeah.
All right. Enough of Star Wars.
Binks Bacon. Coming soon to a grocery store near you.
You're still going to like
on
it.
On May 20th. Oh, no, he didn't. Okay. You know what? Segment over. We're not doing more Jar Jar impressions.
No more. I'm sorry. I got off on a tangent. All right.
Misa liked the podcast.
Oh, and now you just lost all our viewers.
And we're done. Okay. So people.
Brian just lost everybody.
Lots of news this week. It's been like from Monday, it's been just jam packed.
Crazy,
so we're just going to go in chronological order, basically, I guess. Yeah. First thing up, Microsoft decided it'd be a good idea to spend $8.5 billion to buy Skype.
$8.5 billion.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. The rumors the night before were that it was going to be $7 billion. And everybody said, that's outrageous. That's a ton of money. What are they thinking? Then it said it was actually $8.5
billion. And it was rumors that Facebook was going to be buying it, that Google was going to be buying it.
All these people, yeah, the last couple of weeks, everybody's supposedly been interested.
And Microsoft bought it. I heard some reasoning why. I'm not sure. I mean, I can see it being cool, but
here's
$8.5 billion.
Even for a much smaller figure, Skype loses money. They have a huge installed user base. I guess it's right. Like 600 million people like actually have the application downloaded, but only like 150 to 200 million people use it. But like right. That's still like a huge active user base.
Yeah, very, very big active.
But it's not profitable.
And the technology is awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
We both
use it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
But the company as itself is not profitable. So it almost becomes a game of like, why would Microsoft buy Skype? You know, then so, you know, I wanted to go and get a Twister spinner and actually write different options. So you just randomly choose what it would be.
Okay, we're going to spend some money.
Yeah, because anybody could figure out what it could be like. So, I mean, there's lots of different reasons floating. Why don't you cover some?
Well, I mean,
I'll cover some.
I mean, first of all, Microsoft has – they do this thing where when they bundle software together, so like the Microsoft Office suite, they mm-hmm. have SharePoint as part of Exchange. Very few organizations use SharePoint. It's
right.
There. I don't know anybody that uses it. But it's it's like one of the most profitable pieces of software that Microsoft has. Why? Because it's part of the Office suite and they attribute some of the money that everyone buys the Office suite to SharePoint.
So it's artificially profitable.
Right. They're going to do the same thing with Skype.
Well, here's the thing.
They're going to bundle it in and it's going to be, oh, cool. Now it's making money because it's part of our Office suite.
I think Steve Ballmer's insane.
You know what I mean?
It's like, okay, one thing Microsoft's really, really good at is they're basically, they get lots of different services to go and leverage and support their truly profitable services, which are Windows, you know, the operating system, and then Microsoft Office.
Right.
You know, other than that, everything is kind of like a loss leader. And the only real success, I guess, they had is the Xbox. Is the Xbox making money now or is it still?
I don't know.
Because for years, they were losing money on it.
I got to imagine they're making money, especially with Kinect now and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah.
It's really changed.
Right.
You know, I mean, they sold so many of those.
Kinects.
I mean, I would consider Kinect extension of the Xbox.
Oh, definitely.
So if that's making money, then
yeah,
you know what I mean?
But it's like different reasons they could go and do it. It's like one thought is like they're going to go and take it and then basically, you know, bake it into all their software and make it, you know, Microsoft product exclusive only stuff to kind of leverage it to help the Windows Phone 7 brand, to help, you know, Office brand, to help, you know, maybe put it into Outlook.
Well, you know, they're definitely going to put it in Windows Phone 7 because
right.
Google has their next – OS has video chat built into it. You know,
Apple's got FaceTime.
Apple's got FaceTime, so they need something like that. So on the phone side, makes sense. I would be shocked if they don't.
But here's the thing. It's only useful to them in that sense, I think, if they shut everybody else out. Because if everybody else can use Skype, it's not a competitive advantage for them. It's just like they just have a solution that everybody else uses.
Well, but it may be a better integrated or more features or, you know, who knows?
But I'm saying, like, do I want to get an Android device or an iPhone or Microsoft or a Windows 7 phone?
Right.
You know, Skype is not a differentiator because I can just get the application on all the other platforms.
But they may have, like, one of their other things that they were talking about is that they're going to integrate it into the enterprise solution. So
sure.
For offices and video conferencing and all that stuff on the business side, I get it. If, let's say, they integrate it with the phones and you can only get into secure conferences through Skype to Skype on Windows Enterprise.
But
in the business realm, not even just the end user, I mean, not just the consumer, I can see that.
Well, short term, I get it. But I think long term, that ends up killing the product because people aren't going to go change all their phones just for that one feature. I mean, maybe there's going to be other features.
No.
But, you know, I mean, for it to be – the reason Skype's successful is because you can use it on anything.
Right.
You know, and the technology is great. If they take that away, you're losing one of the reasons why it's so widely adopted. The reason FaceTime isn't taking off because only Apple devices use it.
Right.
You know, so that's super limiting.
And what they've said, they're not going to stop developing it for other platforms. Yeah.
Well, they have to say that. Otherwise,
I'm saying they have said that.
I don't know what advantage it gives them unless they do. You know what I mean? They can't leverage it to boost their other products unless they kind of make it exclusive.
Well. Yes, that's true. But, you know, like Skype wasn't – aside from phones, that's all it was able to use. They weren't expanding it out to anything else really.
Right.
You know, they had the Skype mobile and the computer. Microsoft said, we're going to build it into the Xbox.
Right.
You're going to be able to use it with Kinect.
Well, that's what's really cool. I think using
video conferencing with Kinect
in the living room, that's so awesome because nobody's got a solution for that really, really works. And they're going to be the
affordable.
First. That's awesome.
An affordable solution. Like there's some out there that are so expensive.
Well, you're not going to go buy a Cisco, video chat for your house.
Right. But when so many people have Kinect and all of a sudden you can just video chat across the country with someone else, a friend or a family member.
That's incredible. And that's cool. That's one thing where it's going to be, I guess, you know, video game consoles are different in that everything is a silo. Everything is exclusive. You know, in a way, video game consoles are much like it's almost
different.
It's actually when we were talking about the iOS thing versus Android, the open thing, like that's actually, you know, iOS runs like a game console in a lot of ways. And so
that's true.
We should talk about that. Would have been an interesting angle to get into. in that sense, I think it's great because it completely solidifies the dominance with the Xbox. Not that they needed to with PlayStation, just eating it. And Nintendo, like maybe their next gen system is going to be awesome. But I think Xbox is pretty entrenched as the gamer platform, and nothing's going to change that
not in the near future.
You know, and having them established, it's good in terms of like keeping an ecosystem together. I see how it helps them with products moving forward. Maybe they're super geniuses
maybe they have some plan that we don't know.
It seems on the face that it basically they wanted something.
It does seem short term.
They overspent.
Like
yeah, and I don't see there's any way they can go and really use it to bolster their other products long term without devaluing that property the Skype property in and of itself, which leaves them with nothing.
Right.
So
that's true.
We'll see. I'm going to be, and you know, I'd love to go, in 5 years, Scott and I will meet over a cocktail and say like, what about that Skype thing? And we'll discuss it.
I'd be like, what's Skype?
Yeah. My money will be that Skype as it exists now will not exist. It'll be branded as something different and it will not be as successful as it is today because other things will have supplanted, you know, probably open standards.
It's possible.
You know, that aren't tied to a company because I just don't think it's in Microsoft's DNA to really support any kind of
open platform. I mean, the other thing, they may, it's possible they may just completely absorb it and just use the technology for just Microsoft.
Call it Microskype.
That's actually a pretty good name.
It'd be terrible.
Microskype.
It'd be terrible.
They're totally
– I would see them do it because
that's totally going to pop up.
They are terrible like that. So that's why I would not be surprised. Yeah.
That's still going to happen. You called it right here today on Tech Bacon.
It will be interesting. Maybe we don't have to wait 5 years. We have to wait like 5 days.
Yeah, right. So the other huge thing this week, which spanned the whole week really,
totally,
was the Google Developer Conference.
Yeah, Google I.O. Yeah.
Google I.O., which was Tuesday and Wednesday. Wednesday and Thursday? Tuesday and Wednesday, right?
I think so.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? It was the middle of this week.
Yeah. It was 2 days that were after Monday and before Friday.
Yes. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay. Tuesday, Wednesday. That makes more sense. So there were some big announcements. I mean, like they – not mind-blowing stuff, but cool, big, interesting things to talk about.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was a bit of stuff that everybody knew about and then some stuff that I thought was really cool and nerdy, like in a way that I loved.
Right.
That people didn't know about.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, should we go in order of how, like, what they announced, or just stuff that was most interesting?
Well, I guess, you know, let's start with the stuff. You know, Google Music is the thing we'd already talked about. So okay. I guess, you know, let's.
So they officially announced Google Music,
right?
A beta, invite only beta,
right,
to the service.
Which, well,
but it just makes it more of a. They always beta stuff.
Well, they always beta stuff. The invite only thing to me was very, very telling. But we'll get to that in a second.
It is very telling. No, to me, it's makes totally. It a real beta.
Yeah.
As opposed to when they just throw something out and everybody uses it and they call it a beta.
Yeah, just because they want to have the opt out versus like, okay, this isn't really ready, guys. I'm sorry. So we're going to make it invite only, so people can't get frustrated and walk away from it, basically.
Yeah, which is a true.
Yeah.
Which is a beta program.
Yeah.
And they actually, it's rare for them to do that. So it was, although actually, I take that back. Gmail in the beginning was invite only for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, it was invite only for like a year.
Yeah. But I will say, you know, them launching, you know, like, you know, kind of, you know, from the ground up email service is a lot different from them finally deploying a music solution
for their
enormously successful Android platform that everybody's been waiting for years.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you kind of go, okay, is it really a great product that they're ready to ship? Or do they need to get something out there?
Oh, they just need to.
Since Amazon had already announced and Apple's going to announce next month and totally.
No, they had to get something out there. That was all there was to that.
So it was interesting because a version of Google Music was actually announced last year at last year's Google I.O. conference. And that was a really, really cool thing where it was actually a full store and it could send stuff directly to your phone. It was really, really awesome. This, and correct me if I'm wrong because I know you've been into this more than I have, it's just a locker for your existing music.
Correct.
With no purchase options whatsoever.
Correct.
Weird.
It is weird. It is weird. I mean, as far as how it works, it's almost the same thing as the Amazon, except there's no store.
Right.
They have a little app that syncs your iTunes to the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Nice thing about the app, though, it has a scheduler on it, so you can schedule it.
Oh, so like if you've added stuff every week, you go
automatically. Yeah, so you can say sync every night or once a week or whatever. That's pretty cool.
Totally.
The other thing, and, you know, they haven't announced any pricing or anything regarding that, but they did for the beta. It's 20,000 songs free.
But it's free for now.
For now.
Right.
Nobody knows.
And that's the thing. I don't think Google never qualifies that stuff. They've made their –
I think they just don't know what they want
to
do.
Yeah. I think they've been successful basically offering stuff for free. So the fact that they brought that up as a caveat to me is a big signal. Because the big thing too is everybody was – you know, we've talked about here how they've been negotiating with labels. They had zero label support with this.
No, yeah. They just went for
it. So – and like the labels were very, very angry. It's kind of, as a side note, the labels apparently are now hoping that Apple's entry is going to go and force those guys to negotiate things. But that's – you know, we talked about this before. The upside to the Apple solution is probably going to be it's going to scan your hard drive and see you have these songs and then they'll just be there.
Right.
Like you won't have to go and store files.
Exactly.
It's like you'll just have access to all your stuff.
Right.
And the fact that they have to do a label for that tells me that the Apple version will likely go and cover stuff that you haven't bought from iTunes. Otherwise they wouldn't need it. They just read the iTunes database.
Correct.
Which is huge. Right. Which I think is going to be huge. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. That's probably going to be announced next month.
Right.
At
Apple's
developer
this service,
conference.
I mean, I haven't tried it. I know one person that's gotten the invite so far. But really, we haven't talked about it.
Yeah, we both signed up at
We haven't gotten
We've signed up literally a half hour before it was announced, and we still haven't get the invite. So they're keeping them very, very close to the
exactly. best. Exactly. I read some reviews online. It just seems very simple. I mean, there's really not much crazy to it. I do like, you know, 20,000 songs.
Sure.
That's a lot. That's way more than my whole library.
Yeah.
I mean, I have 7,000 or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's a lot. That's 500 albums.
That's my.
You know?
Yeah. I have more than that.
But you don't have, you probably maybe 10,000. That's all. I mean, 20,000.
I take that back. I only have 10,000 songs.
That's what I'm saying. Like 20,000.
That's like 60 gigs. That's like 60 gigs.
And you know what I did like? I did like that it wasn't by, and I hope they keep that.
Oh, by
storage space.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Well, that's smart because
I like it by song. That's a cool concept.
Well, they're approaching it from the right thing. Like, because the one thing I didn't, you know, we talked about this about Amazon. I don't like how it's basically just a drive. I want my music player to be a music player experience. I don't want to have to worry about like drives and folders and that kind of stuff. I just want it to be just the music. And it's like, but it's doing it by song is very, very cool because people know that. People don't want to have to worry about what, bit rate this or that is.
Right.
But one thing that's interesting, though, it also opens it up to them where they can maybe go and transcode things, stream it at a lower bit rate. They can,
It
may not be your actual song in the future.
Possible.
Which if they close deals with, labels.
Then it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
And now the integration from what I've seen on the Android devices, they already have a Picasa integration into the photos area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool. You sign into your account and you choose to sync Picasa. And just right in your photo gallery, your Picasa albums show up.
Yeah. Are we talking about them? So we're not talking about music
Android
anymore.
Well, no, I am. I'm relating it to that because in the way from what I understand, the way the music works, it's the same thing.
Gotcha.
It just shows up as your albums. Like there's not, it's very seamless. It's very seamless integrated into the music, Android music app. From what I can tell, it looks almost identical to that.
Right. It was interesting. Joshua Topolsky from formerly of Engadget, now with This Is My Next and whatever the next product's going to be, was on Twitter this morning or last night.
I saw that.
Complaining how like it will give you duplicate albums. Basically, if you have something in the cloud and on your device locally, it'll show duplicates. It won't be smart enough to do that. It's interesting, but they upgraded the music application, which from what I understand,
it's really nice.
And because like the old one people weren't happy with, is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. I had a version of this one a while ago, got leaked. It's the same thing.
Scott, what? You install pre-release software and you
never.
And you flash the ROM of your device? What?
Who would have done that? Who does that?
Nobody does that.
I don't do that.
Nobody does that. So nobody believes here in jailbreaking or,
we don't do
ROMs or anything like that. No. It's terrible.
Terrible. Terrible. So,
and God bless America.
It's really nice. So I'm curious to test it out. I don't see what they're. I guess I just don't see what they're bringing to the table.
Yeah, like
over Amazon.
And Amazon is the Amazon
aside from the freeness of it.
Is that available on all? I mean, how many Android? Is it everything with everything. With Gingerbread Ford?
Yeah, everything.
Okay. I don't get it. I don't know what, it's not a differentiator. And that to me, that's what they really, really need. Cause I think Amazon's going to come and kick some butt in the Android space. And I think they really need a differentiator.
Here's what's going to differentiate it.
Have an online syncing service.
I'll tell you what's going to differentiate it. If
I just made a weird noise too.
I don't know what that was.
I don't know what that was.
And you looked really weird doing it too.
Yeah. I'm going to cut that out.
No, you're not.
Trade you my weird noise for your Naboo flora.
Oh, that may be.
I'm not giving out the Naboo flora in there.
Damn, I was about to hop on that. If they keep it free for 20,000 songs, that would be a differentiator for me. That's probably the only thing.
Right.
If it was free for 20,000 songs, I would use that service and not the Amazon.
But here's the thing. I think Amazon will just be like, I think Amazon will go for most people, what's their storage space? I think Google Smart to aim high. It's like the Gmail thing. It's like at the time, your online email was 100 megs and, Google's it was 2 gigs, I think, when they first started.
Something like that.
Yeah. So it's like, how could you ever use that? Now you can use that easily. But
yeah.
Because I remember I used to go and sending media files through Gmail because it was you'll never use up the 2 gigs.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I think in that space, it's so competitive. I think people just go and we'll just meet them. But I think
if they do, that would be great.
But here's the problem.
Their offering is not anything spectacular. It's nice and it's ease of use from what I can tell.
Right.
But there's nothing aside from cost.
Right.
There's nothing that would make me use that over the Amazon.
Well, and the one thing too, and I'd be curious to see what your feelings are this in 6 months after you've used the Amazon thing. I basically buy all of my music now on my phone. It's very, very rarely that I ever buy it at the computer.
I do sometimes.
Because buy it there and it's immediately there. It's immediately available. And I expect it to be – the only thing that's changed recently is I've started buying some stuff from Amazon because I want it on my work computer and I don't have to go and switch everything and sync it to the cloud. That will go away for me on iOS side once Apple has their
locker. I have been buying music from Amazon even before their cloud service on my phone a lot because with the phone I have, I get the 4G speeds on T-Mobile.
Yeah.
So if I download an album, I can hit download and start listening to it in the car right away.
Yeah. And it's cool. So cheap. And plus it being on the locker, I think that's why.
Yeah.
I think the locker thing actually isn't. I agree with you on the price thing, but I think the market will even that out because everybody's going
to be curious to see what happens.
Yeah.
But
the point of the service is it makes it easier for you to go and, buy and consume music, basically. It's not necessarily, easier to sync because ultimately people can deal with that. It's kind of whatever. There's third party solutions. I think you can you wirelessly sync with third party?
Yeah. Double Twist.
Okay.
I've used. Pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's all it is a fancier syncing solution. It's what makes it cool
is that you can go and buy once, listen anywhere.
That's why it's awesome.
Right.
Yeah, but you're right, streaming.
It's the streaming part of it that you can, have 20 gigs of music on your phone that has 8 gigs.
Right. That's true.
I mean, I think that's for all of the services.
Yeah.
That's not just this in particular.
Yeah. But I feel like most of these things are going to it's going to be it's going to be to make the buying process, even better.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I feel like
there is no buying process part
of this. They need a service. And I'm really surprised.
I think part of it is you're very right on what you said, that they needed to get something out there.
Yeah.
They had to announce something in the music space or they were going to get eaten up by Apple in a couple months.
I mean, honestly, I feel like it would have been much smarter for them just to say, okay, we're going to go and sign, you know, and maybe they couldn't do this, but it seemed to have been in their best interest to go and sign agreement. Maybe it's only 12 months, you know, maybe it's like something with terms that suck for them, but just get something out there that's ahead of everybody else, or at least brings them, you know, to parity with Amazon.
Right. You know what I
and
do
just so
like
they can
though?
Have it out there and have the full featured solution.
I do have to say, I like that. And Apple may, you know, says we've heard they're negotiating their deals and they've closed deals and whatever. I do like that Amazon and Google said screw you to the record labels and just did this. Because I think it may force their hand down the road to realize that people can do that if they want.
I definitely like that element. I like the Amazon one because they actually, you know, that didn't hurt the consumer.
No.
You know, the Google one, I think it's hurting the users in a sense. That's not a smart move for them to make a moral play if they're not going to be able to go and provide a full-featured solution to, you know, Android users.
It doesn't really – I feel like it doesn't really do anything.
It doesn't. But like that's what I'm saying. Like it would be better for – you know, it would be better for them if they had a full solution just right. for, you know, their users. Right. So like you didn't have to use Amazon.
But I'll tell you, as soon as I get this invite and as long as it remains free – I'm going to upload my entire music library. And
me
using
too.
That.
I'm going to upload my music to every locker I can and see if I can see which one I like the best. You know what I mean?
And like I haven't gone full force on the Amazon because I can't fit all my music on it.
Yeah. And that's frustrating. I mean, I gotta say that's really, really frustrating. And I'm hoping the Apple one too, because they're not going to hopefully have to store everything locally. That right. also won't be an issue.
Right.
Because that's also frustrating for me. Cause like I said, I have 60 gigs of music. I have, you know, what do I have? I have like, you know, much smaller amount of that, you know, on the Amazon service.
Right.
I mean, my phone, I have like a 32 gig iPhone. I want the 64 so I can have all my music on it because I want everything
right.
with me.
Right. That's
the time.
Why, I mean, when I got my iPod, that's why I waited for the 64 yeah. iPod Touch to come out originally a couple of years ago when it came out.
Yeah. Cause nothing's worse than like saying, oh, I have this record. I really want to listen to this song. And you didn't happen to have it because you didn't foresee that you'd want it on this day. Cause it's like a random. Right.
Cause that's
thing.
Why you want a device like that
yeah.
for that flexibility.
Exactly.
That's, you know, one of the loves of those
exactly.
kind of devices.
But I think the good news is holy grail wise, we're going to, you know,
it's going to happen.
We're going to be there. Yeah. And it's really weird. I thought Google, between Google and Amazon, I thought they would have had the perfect solution ready. But I feel like from all the tea leaves we're reading, I feel like actually Apple's going to go and have the full featured buying and storage thing. Like
seems like it,
you know, like, I mean, if it's what we think it is, that will be like the holy grail one ready, which would be, I mean, I'm surprised that they got it because they've been so contentious with the labels. It's a surprising turn of events for me.
Well, I mean, I think Amazon and Google doing what they did may have helped Apple negotiate deals with the labels.
Well, it's interesting because –
don't you think?
Well, because it was also Amazon like was such, you know, the favorite amongst the labels all this time. You know what I mean? Because like, you know,
oh, yeah.
iTunes came
oh,
in
yeah.
and the labels were so mad. And so they made all these sweetheart deals with Amazon.
Right.
And then Amazon did that and Apple's like, guys, we just want to go and be legit. And so yeah. they get to deliver the great service to their users.
Right,
and
right.
I mean,
it's
interesting
funny.
How it's – I mean, once again, competition in this marketplace is so great because everybody hates the record labels and they're doing right. everything wrong. So it's great that you have these three powerhouses all taking these different approaches. And ultimately, it's all going
to,
you know, even
now
where everybody goes and gets the same services because that's ultimately what happens.
Right.
And they end up competing on price or, you know, specifics.
Feature sets.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's kind of – it's just a funny turn of events the way things have been evolving.
It is. It
yeah.
is. So the other thing in this realm at Google at the conference was – aside from music.
Yeah. Well, let's get the media one out of the way.
I was going to say –
okay, cool.
I was going to bring up movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Google movie rentals, which it was last week – They did this little under the radar announcement of YouTube movie rentals.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
I did.
It's the same. That's why they did that for what they announced at the conference, rent movie rentals through the Android store and on your device.
Right.
So it's nice. They have a big selection. You know, I was looking at the layout. Once again, haven't been able to use it yet. But it has been released for the tablets. It's movie rental, you know, movie rental streaming right away, HD quality, nice, good selection. The prices are pretty much the same as every other rental
right.
service out there.
Like a $3.99 or a $4.99, yeah. and yeah.
The one really cool feature, they have a feature called putting a pin in a movie. So if you rent a movie and put a pin in it, it'll download to your device for offline playback
that
of a rented
great.
Movie. Very cool. And
yeah.
you could do it all from the device. But you can also do it from the Android Marketplace now and play it in there too. Play it on your computer.
I love
very
that you
cool.
can go and do the streaming or the local saving because that's one thing that kind of is frustrating on the Apple side.
Yeah.
You can either go and download the movie to your device, you know, or you can do live streaming from the Apple TV, but you can't do either or on the other. You know what I mean?
Right.
which is kind of like a bummer. And I'm hoping they deploy something like that, because that's the great, you know, that's just really cool. I mean, sometimes obviously streaming is just easier on the device. You don't have time to wait for like
sure.
you know, a 3 gig file to download. But having the option of, you know, is really nice, depending on where you're at and what you need to do.
And it's not, it looked very easy. It looked so just. You press the pin button and it downloads.
Right.
You know, which is nice. It takes a while, but.
Yeah. Because you want it to be like it is, you know, with a book or something. If I say you're at the airport and you're like, oh, I really want to go.
Same thing. Yeah.
You're like, I really want to watch Home Alone 2 because that's an awesome movie, maybe.
Why did you bring up Home Alone 2?
Because it's funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Home Alone 2.
You don't like Joe Pesci?
I do like Joe Pesci.
You don't like Daniel Stern? Don't like The Wonder Years? Why do you hate Kevin Arnold?
I don't know. Man. I like Home Alone, the first one. Actually, Home Alone 2 is pretty good, too.
I actually hate them both, so I'm embarrassed that you said that.
I like
them both. But I was saying, you know, so you're at the airport, and you're like, you really want Home Alone 2. Because you want to see how good it was after the first one was so wonderful. So Scott basically is downloading. He wants to get Home Alone 2, but he doesn't want to start watching it at the airport. He wants to watch it on the flight. So, you know, so basically – and you can't download it during the flight. So it's cool if you could go and do that last minute and have it ready to go.
Yeah, I like that.
Or stream. I'm just having the option of doing both depending on what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. It's a nice service. Like I said, nothing special on the pricing. Didn't seem crazy. And from what I can tell, mm-hmm. it looks like the exact same library as the YouTube rentals.
Gotcha.
Exact same.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, same.
Interesting.
When I went to – because you can do it on the Amazon Marketplace, mm-hmm. So you don't need the app to do it over there. And I looked at the selection and the prices, and I went to the Yahoo YouTube/movies. Same thing.
Cool. On a side note for that, the Netflix app for Android is finally out.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
and it's
true.
Not – it wasn't available for a wide range of devices.
No, only a handful.
It was like 5 or 7 or yeah. something like that. Yeah, which is a bummer. But I mean, it's been coming – a long time coming, so that's great that that's out.
I have a little – I mean, obviously I have a rooted device and whatever, but I was able to download it, and it's supposed to work with my phone. I get no video.
Really?
It just plays a blank screen with audio. I don't know why.
Is it because the – because the
it may maybe the ROM
rooted or, oh, got it.
It could be the ROM. I'm not sure, but I was like, oh, man. Yeah. And another thing,
it works on my works on my iPhone and iPad, Scott.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
while we're on this, just a quick side note on video apps. Mm-hmm. I tried out the HBO Go.
Oh yes, talk about
on
it.
on my computer on the big screen and on my phone.
Awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. The selection's amazing. The quality's great. It's so easy. You can subscribe to the shows that you want, like a season pass almost.
After we're done, can we check it out on the iPad? Do you have the information?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. It's wow. Did they do that right?
Awesome.
Did they just do that right? I was so happy about that.
And they're so forward thinking, and I really hope in the next couple of years we'll just see a digital only subscription, because in 2 seconds.
I think that's coming. I think they nailed it. Awesome. They nailed it. They did it perfect.
Because imagine HBO does that, and it's an application on your computer. It's an application on Apple TV, on Google TV,
yeah.
on
yes.
you know,
it's,
on your whatever
well,
other like embedded
Netflix,
devices.
Because Netflix is starting to do original content. Why wouldn't HBO do the same?
So good. Like right? I mean, I think they could really go. They could, if you're just doing that, they could go and bump up their installed user base. Like I feel like 20%. Like
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yes, yes, yes. And I was really impressed and really happy.
Awesome.
I was watching Game of Thrones. Oh, so good.
By the way, Game of Thrones, so good. So good. If you are not
Such
watching it,
an excellent
check
show.
It out. It's so well done. It is smart. It is well written. It is well directed.
Yeah.
Great performances.
All around, it's HBO's new big thing.
And yeah, it is fantastic. And even if you're not like a sci-fi or fantasy dork, you will like the show.
It's not – because it's not – I mean, they really haven't gone into any crazy fantasy elements. It's really just been almost like a period piece, but in a fake period.
Yeah, it's a movie about people. It is not a movie about, you know, dwarves.
Right.
Although there is a small person played by Peter Dinklage, but it is not a movie about, you know, like
great.
Elves and stuff. He is fantastic.
Fantastic.
I mean,
seriously.
I know I'm not watching a ton of TV, but I would be shocked if he is not nominated and, you know, win an Emmy this year. He is
Me
so
too.
Wonderful on that show.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
And he's always been interesting, but he is just amazing.
Yeah. You're like,
yeah. Basically, like, just to tease you, he plays a dwarf who's like, you know, like a.
He's the brother of like this dashing, amazing looking.
Yeah. And.
Guy and amazing woman,
yeah,
you know,
basically, and his sister is the queen,
right?
But he's like the, you know, he's a dwarf and he just like hangs out in brothels and he's like bitter and cynical, but he's also the smartest guy in this entire show,
right?
And he knows it, and it's just wonderful to watch him play everybody while he's just like, you know, hanging out with whores all the time,
right? Excellent.
Yeah.
Fun to watch.
Good stuff.
Okay, back to tech.
Yeah. Another
more Google.
Google stuff. Yeah. We're,
Google.
Chromebook.
Google.
You talked about the CR48 earlier. And now the official Chromebooks have been announced with pricing.
And that's the name of them.
Yeah, they're called the Chromebook.
The Chromebook.
Yeah. Just get pricing real quick enough to get details out of the way.
Go ahead.
Basically, the whole idea was these were going to be cheap devices, basically. So for businesses and for enterprise and schools, they're basically offering them for $28 a month. For business users and $20 a month for students.
For schools.
And you have to do a 3-year contract with that, though. So you're tied in for 3 years of those payments. And also you can buy them for regular consumers. Acer has one that's $349. Samsung has it. It's Wi-Fi only. Samsung has one that is with Wi-Fi and 3G that is $499. So that's like the rough lay of the land out of the gate.
Interesting pricing. I think that's very cool. The subscription model for hardware is interesting, especially they said – I mean, and you know, we'll see if they hold to it or not. But they did say that if they come out with a new model, that it will be swapped out with your subscription. You don't have to buy a new device.
That is cool.
That is very cool. And so they basically all up like the way Chrome OS updates, it updates constantly, so it's always getting better. And that's something that they pointed out when they were announcing it. And I agree with that. That is something that they do right on that, and it's very cool.
But you realize that's $340, $336 a year. That's $1,000.
Right.
Over 3 years.
Right. But
that's a lot.
But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised that in a year and a half, you're swapped out with a new device.
But also it's like with these machines, all this web-based stuff.
But you're also not buying software. You're not buying –
Is that true to the Chrome store? You have to software.
Well, but in general, think about what it would replace.
Right.
If you think about it that way. So what it technically is supposed to replace is a whole exchange suite.
Right.
Right. So in exchange, you buy a computer for each person. You buy an exchange license for each person. And then you buy the Microsoft software for each person.
Right.
And that gets upgraded every couple of years, and you have to pay for it every time.
Not in my work, it doesn't.
In most businesses – that's really expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, very, very, very expensive. So imagine you don't do that and you just are on this.
Very true.
With the Google Enterprise solution, it's way less.
Right.
It ends up being a lot less.
Wouldn't it be cheaper for them, though, just to go and – I guess the idea is if for three – I don't know. It seems like the machines, like what they're going to be running is so – it's not very processor intensive. So it seems like you're going
to
get –
doesn't need to be.
But that's what I'm saying. Like you're going to get 3 years – if you just bought it outright, you're going to get 3 years out of use out of it. Is there like additional support or additional things you get?
Full upgrades, full support. If it breaks, you get a new one. Like every – I mean it's
– for that consumer, not for the subscription.
No, for the –
I mean sorry, so the vice versa.
Yes, for the subscription, it's literally as soon as that thing's out of date and they release a new model, you get the new model.
I guess I was saying I don't know
so
what how valuable is the upgrade going to be. You know what I mean? During a 3 year lifespan.
You think about it, a lot of companies lease computers.
Yeah,
I know a lot of companies that do that. It's the same concept.
Yeah, I guess I feel like these – if you get like a dual – because they're running it, it's like a dual core, right?
Yeah.
If you have like a dual core machine, you spend $350 to buy like the low-end like consumer model. Mm-hmm. You're going to go and get, you know, 3 to 4 years out of that likely, unless they're made like crap, and I would think they're not going to be, you know.
Maybe.
So it's like why would you go and do the subscription model for $1,000 instead of $350?
Well, it could easily go towards your, you know, monthly budget as opposed to your yearly budget. You know, depending on the business.
That's true.
It's very different on how you budget it out for a company.
But you could go in every
You know, because if you're starting up a new company and you have to buy the computers for the whole company, your startup cost is way more in the short term than if you say, okay, we're going to get the Google devices and pay $20 a piece for each one. And, you know, by the time the year has come, we've made more money and we can maybe afford, you know. It's a different
– that's super specific though.
But it's different how people budget out their businesses. It's very different people – you can afford – think of it this way. And it's not exactly the same, but in my head I kind of think of it – and obviously you've cut the cord, but a cable subscription, right?
Sure.
If I knew that I could get a cable subscription for a year and it's going to cost me $1,000, or I can pay a cable subscription per month to fit in my monthly budget.
But why wouldn't you just not like amortize out the payments instead of going –
well, you don't have the money. It's about having the money on hand. It's about actually having the money.
That to me, that's like a super – I mean, I agree.
That's
like a super, super small niche of users. I think if they're talking about like –
that's a company – like it depends the company's philosophy. A lot of companies have a way different monthly budget than they do a yearly budget.
But I think if they're doing what you're saying, if they can say, okay, we're going to go and spend $10,000 to $15,000, let's say, to go and replace, you know, all of our licenses and that kind of stuff from Windows, or we can spend $300 – You know what I mean? Like it seems like – I agree with what you're saying, but it also seems like buying it outright. But I guess the people can do that. So like, you know –
well, yeah, you can do it either way. But I just think it opens it up for – and you know, and like let's say it's a school, you know, and your number of users changes every year.
Yeah, and with budgets being tight, that does make sense. You know, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
I get it. All that, you know, out there, the whole concept of the Chromebook.
Well, there's a new version of the OS. Did you check it? Have you checked it out?
I have the developer version. Mm-hmm. It is different. It is better. It runs better. It has a file browser, which is kind of cool.
And is it all online?
All online.
Files, okay.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, there's a little hard drive in my little SSD.
But I'm saying, like, is there supposed to be any, like, local storage?
There is some local storage. Okay. No, there is local storage, just not a ton. But and the newer ones have bigger local storage.
Got
like
it.
20 gigs or something like
okay.
that.
Okay.
Man, I still just the whole Chromebook OS concept. Maybe I need to use it on a faster device to get the concept better. But I just don't like it. I don't love it. It hasn't changed. The newer version didn't make it any better.
I agree. I don't understand. I mean, maybe in the future, in some magical future, we can do it. Or maybe for specific, you know, usage cases like we've talked about. But for a regular user like you or me, I just think there's too many things that I need a full-featured computer
for. And really, like the price points that they came out with, there was a great article, and it's something I've been saying since I got this thing, was would you rather spend $500 on a Chromebook or an iPad or a Honeycomb tablet?
Yeah.
What would you rather spend that money on? I would rather spend it on the tablet.
Well, because one provides...
I don't feel like the Chromebook is a replacement for my laptop.
It's not. And basically, an iPad or any kind of like tablet device provides a different experience.
Right. It's,
so
it's something else.
It's a different device.
Yeah.
So why would you go and replace that? I guess there are people that are so plugged into services. And, you know, we've been using Google Docs for stuff for the show.
I love Google Docs.
And it's great. And it's pretty – I mean, considering you would – if you haven't used it, it's surprisingly full-featured.
It's nice.
It's great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like – why? Like, I would never go and throw away all my applications on my laptop and just use Chrome and use web apps. I just wouldn't do it. There's too much stuff I need to do.
Me neither.
I mean, I can't. Rand, I have a browser open 24/7, but I
but like one experiences that I hate on the Chromebook is IM, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have Instant Messenger open. First of all, there's really no good AIM version, but there's Google Talk on there built in. And when you open it, it opens up this little window anchored to the bottom of your screen.
Right.
Right. And if you want to get rid of it, it goes away completely. I can't like have this window up with my buddies on it and be doing other things without it covering up another part of my webpage.
You know, it's another thing too, for it to be truly, truly useful. It's going to need developer support. And I don't know that there's going to be enough of an active user base yet to really provide. Maybe there'll be for specialized business applications. But it seems like all the stuff that they roll their own, like that's fine.
Yeah.
But for it to be a real replacement for like real people, they're going to need like a full developer community. And I mean, thus far, like they haven't been very good at like stoking that fire
Maybe this is their big coming out party for that.
Yeah. I mean, they did give a bunch of them away. That's the one thing I love. Whenever Google wants to get developers in, they're like, you know, maybe you're not into developing it, but what if we all give you free gear and then you'll have it? Maybe you'll be inclined.
Right, right.
You know, because we're so nice.
I mean, it was a big push. I was surprised. I didn't think they were going to go full force out on these things.
Yeah.
But I guess over 1 million people applied for the beta program that I got in.
Yeah.
Did you believe that? Over 1 million people?
Well, I believe that because think about how many people think
of it.
Make me
feel really
is.
Lucky that I,
oh,
that
of
I actually got part
I,
of that.
I'm angry at you.
That
about
was very
it.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm very angry at you about it. But it's like, you know, first of all, it's because it's free. You know,
absolutely.
The minute it costs money, like I apply for one too. The minute it costs money, I'm out.
Yeah,
like, no, I'm not going to pay $25 for that.
Right.
I'll go see Prince for $25.
Right. I really thought they were going to go
you,
a different
side. You're welcome.
I would have gone for a different. I mean, the subscription pricing, very interesting, very cool. Curious to see how that works.
Right.
Pricing of the devices. I thought if they were going to go full force with these things, I thought they were going to be $200 devices.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been the only way to make this thing mass marketable, appealable, was a really, really freaking cheap.
Well, otherwise they're
device.
Going after the netbook market, which is evaporating.
Right. You know, and then that means they're going into the tablet realm. And then I'd rather get
which
a tablet.
Which they're also
and
trying,
they already have their own.
Yeah, which
so
they're trying
like,
to go and get rid of with.
This well, doesn't make sense.
Once again, there are multiple, you know, strategies going on within Google. And that is great because they're, you know, they're trying to do as many things as possible. And
sometimes
something
it
sticks
works
and that's the horse they ride.
You
know. But yeah, it's just, I don't think there's an overall, you know, arching strategy.
Yeah, maybe
but,
not.
You know,
well, I mean, only
maybe,
time will tell
one,
on
yeah.
this. You know, I'm very curious, but I'm just not a huge fan. I don't love it.
Yeah.
You know,
one more quick thing about the Google I/O stuff. They released something, not something called first of all, Ice Cream Sandwich, the new Android version came out, which we probably don't have time to get into now.
Just really fast, Jamie Duner, good friend of ours, just said, Chrome Alone 2.
Wow. Mr. Dooner, that was amazing.
Ringing in with the pun of the day. Thank you very much.
But anyway, they introduced this thing called Android at Home. And what this is, and I'm kind of surprised that this hasn't come around earlier.
This is cool.
And this is really, really cool. Basically, they made it so you can go and interface stuff around your house, like home automation stuff, with your Android device. And also made it easy for people to build their own.
Any consumer electronics.
Yeah. And also it has support for Arduino, which is like this open source, like, you know, hardware. I mean, this is really cool. Check it up. Check out Arduino, guys, on Google. It's really cool. But it's like – it's this cool thing where if you're like – let's say you're playing a game on your like, you know, Android tablet, and it's like a – it's a first-person shooter, and like you have the lights off in your house, and like you shoot something, and when the lights flash, when your gun flashes, the lights in your room would like flicker on and off in time with the gun flash. So it makes – it can make that device truly immersive. And that's just one example.
And it could just be home automation. You can turn on and off your lights through your device, or you can, you know, program the fridge to do something or whatever, or like anything.
You press
complete
play.
Complete home automation.
Yeah. And it's just to have that, you know, basically out there to do, I think, you know, really, really cool things can come out of it. And it's really, really – I think it's really just neat.
It's neat. And I mean, I think also part of it is – you know, you can take your Android device and plug it into other devices.
Right.
And it'll auto-recognize. It's very similar to what Apple has with their dock, with their pin connector and all that stuff. It's pretty much same concept on that realm, except that like – it's a little more full-featured in that the other devices can they can recognize each other pretty much, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
It made me think something that popped into my head and I wanted to talk to you about because I was curious. I wonder if Apple's going to get rid of the dock connector, because is there any advantage of that now?
I think there is, because versus what, like a micro USB?
Because they've gotten so small. Well, the micro USB have gotten so small, and that was a big deal because it had took up space.
There's a lot of stuff that's built into that connector that they use. I mean, they're basically all like the video out stuff. There's lots of like proprietary stuff, the way they have it, you know, handled. And also like the power. It's a special thing that they built it, lots of features.
But don't you think they can now build that into the device itself?
I don't know. I think honestly, if anything, they'll go with like Thunderbolt. And they'll basically have something that comes out of that, so they can get something more full featured. They're not going to go with USB 2; it's too slow.
USB 3 though.
But they're not adopting USB 3 on the laptops. I don't think USB 3 is going to happen.
I think you're going to see it on Intel's, the Apple devices.
Intel's holding it up. I mean, quite honestly, the reason we're not seeing that on laptops because Intel hasn't been adopting USB 3 in their chipsets yet.
Right.
I think they're going to go Thunderbolt, because Thunderbolt they can break out to USB if they want to.
I mean, because what Apple has said is that they're not getting rid of USB.
Oh, of course not. Yeah.
So I don't see why why wouldn't they move into 3 and keep Thunderbolt 2.
I think they're going to do two things, because they're only going to have – I think they're going to keep the one port thing. I think that's just their deal. I think that they'll either move to Thunderbolt, or they'll keep the 30-pin and just keep running, you know, going that for a while. I don't think they'll go to USB.
It's just interesting. I was thinking about that because it's – in general, you know, the advantage isn't there anymore that it used to be for what you could do by having that kind of connector. It doesn't really exist anymore. Because I think it's gotten so small and powerful, you can put it in the devices now.
But I think they can break things out with that. That makes it that's easier than it is than just doing like a USB connector.
I mean, it's the same. It's just plugging something in. There's no.
Yeah, but basically, to have it,
You know what I mean? In general, it's just plugging something into something. It doesn't really matter what it looks like.
Yeah, and there's also the backwards compatibility thing. I don't know. It's something I hadn't thought about.
Yeah, and I was like, because they can do it now.
Well, there's the talk about the Thunderbolt thing. I actually didn't like that idea because I want everything to go and remain consistent. Because ever since, you know, I think the second generation iPod, it's been that 30-pin dock connector, and all your devices work across it.
Which is great.
I don't want them to get rid of that because I've got a ton of stuff invested.
But you know what
devices.
They would do, like if they got rid of it, I don't really
they'd
think
have
they
an adapter
would.
To it.
But they would just have an adapter.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't be any.
But for docks and stuff, that's not going to work. Oh, one thing that's interesting, the new Samsung introduced a new Galaxy Tab that's 10.1 inches, more directly competing against the iPad. It has almost – I don't know if it's a 30-pin connector or what, but it's identical looking dock connector.
You know, that Asus has that too.
Does it?
Similar.
The Samsung
or
one – like
dock. I wonder if it's the same thing.
If you look at the Samsung one, it literally looks like they decided to go and like clone the iPad design-wise, including that connector.
I wonder though if that is just for like a dock.
I don't know.
Nobody knows. Yeah. But so this home automation and all this stuff is similar to what Apple's already does. So I think it'll be like you may see more integration with Android devices in car stereos and Android devices in other things now.
Well, I think it's interesting here because I think that's a situation where the open nature of Android really can provide some cool stuff, because you can have hobbyists go and like build neat stuff for gaming, which you can't really do with a made for iPod program. That's why I think it's really, really exciting, because it can be more of a
just some guy in his garage creating some interesting, cool, weird
and that's
thing.
What I mean. That's the nerd of me, part of me. That's what I really love about Android. You can do that kind of stuff. That's cool. You know, and to have it, it's one thing you can go and get it, you know, on the Apple side, you can go and like join the developer program and deploy your apps to your phone. But that's a bit more full feature that you can, some stuff that you can't do.
Right.
So that's, you know, that I think that's really, really exciting.
Yeah. It's neat. And by the way, all the keynote speeches and stuff they did at the Google I/O are all online. If anybody wants to check it, you can go to just search Google I/O and they all pop up. They're pretty interesting. They're not really all that long, and there's some interesting stuff. You could see a little more about what we've been talking about.
Exactly.
We'll put a link to that up on our site and stuff.
Cool. And one other thing, speaking of Android, we talked a lot about you know, Amazon and their possible tablet entry.
News broke at the
end of this week that they're not just planning a single, you know, tablet device. They're actually planning a entire family of Amazon branded Android devices, including phones, tablets of multiple sizes.
It's like
a full court press, which is really, really interesting, because if they go and do that with all of Amazon's integrated solutions, that can really become a war of, you know, Google Android against Amazon Android against, you know,
whatever,
Windows, Apple, whatever.
I think Amazon really has positioned themselves to do that in a really good way.
I don't know, because I think that brand is so much more, in my opinion, like, you know, amongst normal people, I feel the Amazon brand is probably more trusted than even Google.
That's what I mean.
I think they can like move in and just like, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're like.
Clean up.
If they pounce on this, they're just going to, I think, explode in that market.
And that becomes a real big game of like, you know, you're trying to like predict stuff, you know, 2 years out. It's like, does Amazon then become the predominant, like, you know, Android brand? And then what does that do? Do they have their own special fork, or is Google helping them? Because it seems against Google's interest that they can lock them out.
I don't know.
If Amazon locks them out, you know, on Marketplace and on, I mean, you know, they can do whatever they want.
Right.
They can, you know, then that can cease, that branch could cease to be, you know, a profitable, you know. Yeah.
You know what, as far as the Marketplace goes, and not to get back into our other discussion at all. What I think, AT&T the other day reversed their decision about sideloading apps onto the Amazon devices.
Gotcha.
Did you know about that?
I did not.
You could only buy them through the market. You couldn't load them from someone's website or anything like that.
Well, they also had the same policy about the Atrix, didn't they? Motorola Atrix?
Yeah. So they stopped. They reversed that. So now you can. I think if Amazon is more successful with their app store, Google is going to release their Market app as a standalone app that you can just get from their website.
Possibly. But you know,
so you could download it.
I can see
you can't do that now. It has to be part of the phone. There's no way to actually install the Google Market.
I don't know if they will, because part of the power that Google has in shaping the future of Android is like withholding access to those like Google, you know, branded
experience
applications.
Yeah, but I'm saying if something else gets a foothold and starts and they get scared.
Right, then they might.
They may be forced to do that.
But if they do that, then it goes in. Long story short, basically, there's an article about this too this week. There's a lawsuit happening between Skyhook Wireless, which is a geolocation company. We talked about them last week with regard to
Apple's,
you know, Wi-Fi tower and, you know, and cell phone tower positioning stuff. But there's basically a lawsuit. Basically, Skyhook was accusing Google of being anti-competitive and blocking them out with other devices. They had a deal, I think it was with Motorola.
Yeah.
And Google basically put a nix on that device, you know, getting released. And part of the documents that have come out, Neelay Patel over at This Is My Next had a really, really interesting article. He went through hundreds of pages of legal documents. Basically, Google has this program where if they want to go and give you like their native Gmail client and their native browser and then in the marketplace and all this kind of stuff, they have to approve your device, basically.
Right.
And they basically have an application. It's like, I think it's like the Android compatibility test. They have to run stuff through to, and if that passes that, then they'll say, okay, cool, we give you our blessing, you can use our integrated stuff. But they change the terms of what that test is.
Mm-hmm.
So if they basically have something that somebody is doing that they don't like, i.e. Motorola is using Skyhook instead of Google services and Google can't get location data from users, then they say, oh no, we've changed the test, you can't do that.
Right.
And there's an email from a Google executive saying,
it's crazy,
we're basically using approval as a club against our competitors.
That's nuts.
Which is the exact quote that a Microsoft executive used like, you know, 15 years ago about how they would be
Internet Explorer.
So it's a little bit,
it's scary.
It's a whole different conversation.
And I think it's also changed since this lawsuit has come. I mean, not because of it, but because of their alliance that they announced.
Yeah. Well, everybody has slightly different agreements. Samsung has a different agreement with them. It doesn't have some of the same provisions, but still they are still using that. But I think that is a good way for them to go and, you know, shape the future of Android. If they gave up that because they were worried about Amazon, then I think then they lose that ability. Because the biggest fear for Google, I'm sure, would be like they'd spend all this money, all this R&D on this software, and then everybody rips out their stuff and they get no data from it, no search results. They have nothing to sell to advertisers.
Yeah.
And it basically
they're going to lock people
for them.
Yeah, exactly.
So they got to lock people into like using their stuff eventually.
True. That's
the thing. If Amazon does that and like makes it their own thing, I guess it'll be in Google's interest to play nice with Amazon. You know,
well, I mean, that's a huge user base, and if you know, they because you know, ultimately, it would be in their interest.
Because ultimately, for Google, what's profitable is not selling a music from a music store or selling movies. It's ultimately for them is like getting data on you
data.
And using that to right. sell ads. To, you know, sell ads to you basically, because that's they're an advertising company ultimately that makes cool gear,
right? That's all.
So I think that's what probably would happen if like Amazon gets big, mm-hmm. but Amazon's. It's in Amazon's interest too,
it's
I think, to go
be
and
an interesting,
to play nice with them. But like they're going to be – it's going to be a very, very interesting
and
partnership.
Maybe they'll – you know, yes, interesting. That
it reminds
the key word, interesting
It reminds me of Apple and Google actually like in 2007 and 2008 when the iPhone first came
with
out.
With the maps and stuff.
When they're in bed and it's happy, but like their interests aren't really aligned long term. Not
right.
really.
Right. Right. Curious.
You know, because Amazon's ability to become dominant is going to require them to go and lock out some stuff.
Yeah. And,
you know, and provide that seamless, personalized Amazon experience, whatever that's going to be.
Right. Curious.
You know, I think, I don't know. I'm very excited to see what's going to happen.
I'm very
and
excited.
And all these devices basically are supposed to be ready this year for this holiday season.
I mean, they're saying there was some rumor saying summer, some rumor saying holiday season, but it's happening this year.
Yeah.
This thing is going to happen this year.
So we're looking
at 6 months.
We're basically looking at, and what was the time frame for ice cream sandwich? Is that this year or next year?
I think it was last quarter of this year.
Supposed to come out.
Okay. I think is what they said.
So basically, we're looking at a summer where it's or a holiday season where it's going to be new iPad. I mean, excuse me, new iPhone, potentially iPad HD. Nobody knows.
Gear heavy
with you know iOS 5, new Android devices and Amazon branded devices.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very very interesting. But this is like you know the stuff shaping out, and I love
make some more money so I can buy all this gear.
Seriously, yeah. Anybody wants to give us review stuff, please feel free to contact
us.
We
won't turn it down.
Yeah,
definitely. do we want to?
Let's jump to food.
You want to jump to food?
Let's jump to food. We have some other stuff we can hit next week.
Okay. There was some interesting stuff. But yeah, we'll jump to food.
We're running long today.
It's okay. But not crazy long. It's okay. So I'm going to circle around to something that's been going on for the past couple months in the food realm for me. And this is the Ben & Jerry's ice cream. I finally found the red velvet cake ice cream.
Okay, I mean, there's not going to be any more talk of red velvet, at least in ice cream.
No.
Okay. Then you know what? Then I'm happy too. I'm happy for you and for me.
I'm going to give a quick review of the Ben & Jerry's red velvet cake ice cream. And then I will only talk about regular red velvet cake every week.
You're going to start hunting down red velvet. You know what you're going to do? You're going to go to Star Tours and have red velvet cake at Disneyland is what you're going to do.
So I went to the grocery store. They randomly had it. There.
Okay, as a quick aside, I was at a Rouse very late last night, and I have to admit, I actually looked for it for you.
You did?
I did.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Brian.
They didn't have it. But.
So I bought it. Looks good. I ate the whole pint, but that's just because I have
in
issues.
In one sitting?
I can't. I always eat the whole pint in one sitting. It's pretty much a given. If I get a pint of ice cream, I'm
going
to eat the
whole
pint.
And yet he weighs 110 pounds, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what's going on.
So here's my review of this. It's red velvet cake batter ice cream with red velvet cake pieces in the ice cream, right? And then there's a swirl, like a cream cheese swirl in the ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did not really like this ice cream.
This is two in a row. You had the Ben & Jerry's build up and let down.
I know. So here was my problem. There was one thing that could have fixed the entire ice cream experience. The red velvet. Yes.
Sorry, I'm called back.
The red velvet cake batter ice cream, I did not like. The actual ice cream itself, the base of the ice cream.
You didn't like the red velvet.
I like
what you're saying. I like where you're going.
I didn't like the red velvet cake batter ice cream.
I liked the red velvet
cake pieces in the ice cream. Mm-hmm. So if it was, say, a vanilla bean ice cream with red velvet pieces and a swirl of
cream cheese,
it would have won me over.
But that wouldn't have been
– It was too much. Well, it would have been red velvet cake pieces.
That would have been awful vanilla-y though. Like the vanilla with the cream cheese, that would be a strange
or
combo.
Or cream cheese flavor ice cream. I would have gone with that. The red velvet cake batter ice cream, I didn't like.
What didn't you like about it? Break it down.
It just – I'm not – you know what? It was too much red velvet cake.
Wow. Those words were actually just said. I'm so happy for you. This is good. This is progress.
It kills me to say it, but I have to be honest about my review. And I didn't like it. I will probably not buy that ice cream ever again.
Well, you know what? I won't either. I'm going to stand in solidarity with you. I'm not going to buy it either.
Oh, gee. Thanks, Brian.
I got your back. It's good.
Another thing on the food front.
Real quick, once again, our friend Jimmy Dooner in chat. Red velvet? More like dead velvet.
Yes, that's Brian's, you know, that's your your chant from now on. Dead velvet, dead velvet.
I can't take Jamie D's chance. Anyway, by the way, just a reminder, everybody, if you're listening, you know, later, we do this live every Saturday at 11 a.m. We do have a live chat going, so come on and join us next time.
Feel free to join in.
And you'll see things like Red Velvet, Dead Velvet live. It'll be very exciting.
Yes, you will know it as soon as it happens.
We should stop telling people these great things. They have to come to chat.
That's a good point.
Yeah, we're going to use Jamie D. We're going to use Jamie Dooner as a club.
You are our secret weapon, Jamie. on the food front, this week the James Beard Award winners were announced. Right. So James Beard Awards are just – they honor excellence in cooking, in service, in everything basically food related. Okay. Time Magazine related them to the Oscars of the food world.
Okay, cool.
Okay, and they've been around for a while. They have gained a lot of not notoriety, but just it's been out there a lot more since all these Food Network shows have taken off, because they'll always – tell you if somebody is a James Beard Award winner or James Beard nominee. And, you know, it gives them a lot of credit. So this year, the best chef, I can't remember the exact name of the title, but went to Jose Andreas, who is a amazing, amazing chef in the culinary world. Out here in Los Angeles, he has a restaurant called Bazaar. And I don't know, have you ever been to Bazaar, Brian?
I have not.
You have not. You know of it. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a tapas style restaurant, but it's also a molecular gastronomy tapas style restaurant. So it's very unique, very strange, interesting foods. Like they have this mini Philly cheesesteak that's like it's a bun and then it's infused with hot melted cheese and thinly sliced beef on the top of it. But when you eat it, it tastes like you're eating a Philly cheesesteak. It's amazing.
By the way, hot melted cheese is the name of this episode.
You know, the words that were in my head were going down a road that neither of us wanted to go.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to let you know that you just named the episode. I'm very – it's good.
Thank you. Thank you. They also have like a foie gras cotton candy. So it's like a little bit of foie gras in the middle and then surrounded by cotton candy. Really unique and weird, cool. Interesting taste. And then my favorite thing that I had there was a caprese salad that it's basically an infused heirloom tomato. And I'm not sure exactly what they infuse it with, but it's completely infused with, you know, a flavorful liquid. I can't remember what it is.
What did it taste like?
It just tastes like the freshest balsamic tomato you've ever had.
Do they infuse it with balsamic?
I don't think they do.
Okay.
But I don't remember. But and then they serve it with this, and the only way I can figure out to describe it is a globule of liquefied cheese. Well, I just don't know.
Globule.
But it's liquefied mozzarella cheese. So you put it in your mouth with the heirloom tomato and it explodes in your mouth. The cheese actually explodes, and it is so tasty. And it hits all the senses. It really just like goes, you know, completely in all over your mouth. You hit all your taste buds, and it's just a unique and awesome dining experience.
Was it a little green globule on the drum seat? Oh, somebody hasn't seen Spinal Tap. Okay, so
I have, but it's been a while. But okay. That's funny. No. Okay. So anyway, that was going on. If you want to know more about the James Beard Awards, they have a website. We'll put the link up. It's cool. Pretty interesting. It's interesting because they also recognize, top of their game in service and all different, you know, parts of the industry, not just the cooking. So
it's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Cool. Well, cool. We have run long, but I think we should probably call it a day on this one or wrap it up.
I think that's it. It's amazing. Yeah. We still had a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we had a list of about 10 things because we're smart like that. We go and say, we always get to everything every week, of course.
I think we always just get worried that we're not going to have enough, and then we always have too much.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks for joining us, everybody. I'm Brian.
I am Scott.
And this has been Tech Bacon. If you have any questions or anything, feel free to email us, Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, at techbacon.net, or Scott at techbacon.net.
Yes, sir.
We're also, you can visit the website. And if also you're listening on iTunes, please go and take a chance to go and review us, or just give a star rating. That's basically the easiest way for new people to go and find the show. We're getting a lot of new listeners the last couple weeks. I want to thank everybody for checking us out. We appreciate you listening, and I hope you're enjoying everything.
Thank you.
Take care.